listening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, February 14, 2018. Activists are calling on President Kiir to cancel the death sentence on Riek Machar's spokesman.
It is being condemned nationwide in South Sudan, even at the village level, at the grassroots level. That conviction was not fair because we did not see a right judicial court that can convict or interpret law in South Sudan.
And more peacekeepers arrive in Juba to protect civilians.
Is it the protection for big installations? Is it the protection for political leaders? Or is it a general protection for the civilians? I think the protection of civilians, in my opinion, comes first, because it's majority of them that are getting displaced in the villages.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese activists around the world are condemning the recent decision by South Sudan Supreme Court to sentence Riek Machar's spokesman, James Gadet, to death by hanging. A coalition of civil society activists in exile say President Kiir should intervene and cancel the court's decision. Yom Deng Bul is an activist with the non-profit known as Achut Foundation. She says James Gadet is a victim of impunity.
Not only the civil society group who feel bad or are condemning it, but it is being condemned nationwide in South Sudan, even at the village level, at the grassroots level. That conviction was not fair because we did not see a right judicial court that can convict or interpret law in South Sudan, because South Sudan is currently in the state of anarchy. We are demanding the intervention, the international community to intervene, and the human rights group also to condemn that inhuman acts against James Gadet.
How else would you have liked to see this case handled?
This case was supposed to be handled in this way. The government of South Sudan, in collaboration with its allies, have to free James Gadet from the detention and from jail, because he was kidnapped against his will. And this is not only, you know, against James Gadet's his will, but this is a crime against humanity. So this act actually is qualifying South Sudan civil war, you know, to be placed under crime against humanity and war crime also. So James Gadet has to be free from the detention. Also, not only there for the case of James Gadet, there has been an activist who were abducted here in Nairobi last year. You know, lawyer Dongwak, we don't know his whereabouts up to date. One of the IO figure was also kidnapped here in Nairobi, and we don't know his whereabouts. So government has to start now to begin to realize the fact that what the government has been doing is not good at all. This is an act of crime, and such thing have to end. As the country is preparing for peace, we need Gadet to be released from the detention, leave alone, you know, that, you know, sentiment to death.
But the government would argue that they have a reason for what they have done. I mean, they have charges against him. So how would you respond to those charges?
Actually, what we, the South Sudanese youths and activists, are against here, we are not depending James Gadet, are saying that he's innocent. No. That's not what we are doing. What we are saying here, we are saying that justice must be served. If there is an existing justice in South Sudan, himself, Salva Kiir, is also facing a lot of charges. You know, a crime against humanity and war crime, because abducting individual citizens against their will and subjected them to torture alone, this is qualifying him to be a criminal. So if there is a fair conviction to be done, and then it should be started with, you know, people like David Yao Yao. David Yao Yao was the warlord. He has killed thousands of South Sudanese innocent civilians.
So what you're telling me is that there are people in the government of South Sudan who have committed crimes and they are left to, you know, move around. Is that what you're telling me?
Since South Sudan conflict began in December 2013 up to that, there has been going a commission of atrocities, killing of an armed civilian, you know, executing them based on their ethnic background. And who are the one instructing the armed forces? It is Alpha Kiir, it is Dr. Riek Machar, the opposition leader. So what we are saying here as a citizen, we are not seeing any of the South Sudanese official who is there to serve the interests of the people, but they are there to serve their own interests.
And so if the civil society organizations are given an opportunity to meet President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Taban Dengai, what would you tell them?
I would say that enough is enough. We are tired of dictatorship. We are tired of killing. We, the citizens, we are being used against one another.
And what should the citizens do when they are tired?
Citizens, they don't have way out.
Why? So why don't they have way out?
One thing you got to know, there is no freedom of speech in South Sudan. The moment you open up your mouth and you condemn the government or you criticize the government, you find yourself at the graveyard. And that's why you see most of the citizens, they don't come up openly and express the abuse. People are suffering. People are dying of hunger. There's no food. You know, people are living in the calm, hiding peace, you know.
That's Yom Deng Bul, an activist with the non-profit Achot Foundation. She was speaking with me from VOA Bureau in Nairobi earlier today. Amnesty International calls Gadet's sentence completely unacceptable. Speaking out this week, Amnesty International press officer Seif Magango says he was shocked to hear the death sentence, especially considering Gadet had no legal representation during his hearing.
At the point where James gets sentenced to death, it was actually surprising because it came out of the blue. The expectation would have been that he would have been given time to appoint a new lawyer so that the time that they proceed with the trial, there's a lawyer to represent him. But this was totally out of the blue to sentence him when he had no lawyer presenting him at the time.
Amnesty International says Gadet was unlawfully deported from Kenya to South Sudan in November 2016, where he spent over 7 months in solitary confinement. Gadet is charged with abetment, treason, publishing or communicating false statements, and undermining the authority or insulting the president. But Magango says the crime does not fit the punishment.
The death penalty we oppose under all circumstances. It is an abhorrent penalty. It is an irreversible sentence. It is inhumane. We condemn the death penalty under all circumstances, and we hope and campaign that all countries stop using it as a penalty for any crime.
Gadet's lawyers withdrew from the case, citing concerns that Gadet and other political prisoners should have been released because the government signed the agreement on cessation of hostilities, which required the warring parties to release political prisoners and persons who were detained related to the conflict. More peacekeepers are arriving in Juba as part of the UN-mandated Regional Protection Force. A South Sudanese analyst says the additional peacekeepers will have no impact if they are all stationed in Juba. Gift Friday reports for VOA from Juba.
270 Rwandan troops flew to Juba on Saturday, bringing the total to 393 Regional Protection Force troops in South Sudan, according to ANMIS spokesperson Francisca Mold. In a recorded message, Mold says the troops are in the capital to begin their service as part of what will eventually be a 4,000-strong force authorized by the UN Security Council Resolution 2304 of 2016.
The latest arrival of Rwandan peacekeepers are an addition to an advance force of around 123 who are already in place. Additional Rwandan troops will arrive in the coming days along with their equipment by road.
Mold says the peacekeepers include medical personnel,
such as nurses, as well as peacekeeping troops. They'll contribute to UNMISS's efforts to extend its protective presence to communities in need across South Sudan, including through an increase in patrols.
The UN Security Council resolution requires that the Regional Protection Force, or RPF, provide protection to key facilities in Juba and main routes leading in and out of the capital. The RPF is also mandated to strengthen security of the UN protection of civilian sites and other UN premises. Policy analyst Agustino Ting Mayai at the Juba-based SAD Institute says Juba is stable. He says the newly arrived troops should be deployed to insecure areas across the country.
It makes little sense that you would add 200 more troops to what we already have in Juba. The UN, the Regional Protection Force, as well as the government security forces, both the police and the other armed groups. It just doesn't make any sense.
In August, Army's Chief David Shira said the arrival and phased deployment of the RPF will free up existing Army peacekeepers to extend their presence to conflict-affected areas beyond Juba. Shira told reporters in August last year that there are delays in deploying the RPF because such deployment requires the cooperation of both the government and the troop-contributing countries, along with the United Nations headquarters in New York, in making sure all the procedures are followed. But Mayai says before deploying more troops, the UN should reevaluate the performance of armies and take a second look at what kind of protection is required in South Sudan.
Is it the protection for big installations? Is it the protection for political leaders? Or is it a general protection for the civil? I think the protection of civilians, in my opinion, comes first, because it's the majority of them that are getting displaced in the villages. It's the majority of them that are walking to nearby nations that are neighboring South Sudan.
Mayai says stakeholders attending the phase two of the high-level revitalization forum in Addis Ababa this week should discuss whether a regional protection force is necessary in South Sudan.
The agreement should come out clearly on whether or not such a force is needed, and if needed, where exactly should we deploy it to provide that protection that is desired.
Tensions mounted between government forces and the RPF after RPF troops were deployed near Juba Airport in August. Mayai says with more RPF troops arriving in South Sudan, the government and the UN should improve their coordination to prevent a repeat performance of what happened last August.
You really need to streamline how a message is passed between the government and the international community, and that the community would also need to be made aware of the coming of these troops and their presence, so then they don't cause any panic when people see them for the first time.
The UN Security Council authorized the Regional Protection Force in 2016 following the deadly flare-up in violence between government forces and bodyguards of former Vice President Riek Machar. Aside from the Rwandan troops that arrived in South Sudan last year, a company of Rwandan soldiers, a Nepalese high readiness company, and more than 100 Bangladesh engineers were deployed to the country last year. Give to Friday for VOA News, Juba.
Residents of the disputed Abyei region say the prices of basic food commodities are skyrocketing. Some of the residents blame the closure of a meat joint market along the Sudan-South Sudan border for the high market prices. Michael Atit traveled to Abyei recently and filed this report for VOA from Juba.
Nyandeng Mejok is a widow and a mother of eight who sells tea in the market to make a living for her and her children. Speaking in Arabic, Mejok says she earns between 400 to 700 South Sudanese pounds in a day from her tea-making business. But the money is not enough to provide for her family's needs because of out-of-control prices for basic necessities.
The situation is really demanding. As a widow, I am now taking care of more than 10 children, including the children of my late brother. No one is helping me. If I don't work in the market, I don't know how we will survive.
Chol Kuol Mayan is a trader working in the market. He says prices soared when the Amiet joint market closed due to insecurity in the area. Speaking in Arabic, Mayan says people don't have money anymore, so the demand for goods has dropped significantly.
There is a high level of economic contraction in the market, and there is no much demand on the stored goods in the market because people don't have cash in their pockets and prices have gone high.
Mayan says last month a bag of wheat flour sold at 4,000 South Sudanese pounds. He says now it costs 6,000 South Sudanese pounds. He says a bag of sugar, which used to cost 5,000 South Sudanese pounds, is now 7,000 South Sudanese pounds. Speaking in Arabic, Mayan also complains there are too many checkpoints along the roads leading to Abyei, which contributes to higher prices.
Any single coin that I pay as a tax, I will definitely add it on the price. This is what is making prices to be high in the market. We do understand the demand of our customers, but as a businessman, I can't sell my commodities on lost.
ABA Chief Administrator Kwal Alor Kwal says cattle raiding along the border and road ambushes have contributed to the deterioration of security in the area. He says local Ngok Dinka leaders are working with their Misriya Arab counterparts to reopen Amiet joint market.
Due to this crisis, market of Amiet has a bit not functioning, and up to now the market is not reopened, but we hope very soon it will be reopened. And the market of Amiet is the only market that supplying the neighboring states of Wil, of Tuj, of Gurial, of Mayom, which is Lich, Rurueng, and Biyun.
Speaking in Arabic, ABA resident Ading Thorn is calling on the organizations to provide food assistance to the people of ABA.
In the past period, WFP used to distribute food ratio, but now it is no longer there. I don't know why. There are people who have no work to do to earn life, and as such, life becomes difficult for them. I think the UN should have continued to support and give us food ratio.
Thompson Piri, a spokesperson for the UN's World Food Programme in South Sudan, says the WFP is providing assistance for various kinds in ABA, including food, building and restoring community assets, and treatment of moderate to acute malnutrition among children and pregnant women. The area's civil administration estimates the population of Ngok Dinka in ABA somewhere between 120 and 160,000 people. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, residents of Bor woke up to bulldozers tearing down their homes. Find out why when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What plant is the most useful for your family in your garden?
Onions are the most used plants in our garden because in everything that we cook, we add onion. Yeah, I think that one is the answer. Onions and tomatoes.
The plant that is most useful for my family, I think it's ginger because it's very useful to the family because we think it's medicinal and you use it to as a spice as well to prepare your food.
The most useful plant in our garden is groundnut because one, it can be harvested earlier than any other crop in the garden.
In my family, we cherish bitter leaf, we call it onugu in our dialect, that's Igbo, precisely. Well, it's a delicacy.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Hundreds of Bor residents slept in the open air after authorities demolished their houses on Tuesdays to pave way for the construction of new roads. Residents of the Marol area in Bor's town say they have nowhere to go. Deng Gai Deng reports for VOA from Bor.
Alec Majunga Yuen sat under a tree beside her three children, luggage and utensil, watching the government's bulldozer bring down her house. Yuen says she is angry the government is bulldozing her house, but admits she has no right to stop the action since she does not own the land.
They are crushing the people's houses, shops. But now the iron sheet is very high, the timber are very high, everything is very high. So I don't know how will condition be with people. That thing is not okay. Yeah, you can see yourself now. Things are outside on the road. Even children, I don't know where they will sleep.
Resident Mary Adindeng also watched helplessly as she saw her house was demolished today. Speaking in Dinka, Deng says she has no idea where to go from here.
We got this place as a forest in 2006 after signing of CPA. We settled here and that is our home. A few years ago, survey was done and we were not allotted any land. Now they say that I have to move because the road is passing through my home. I am asking our government of Jangulen, here are my luggage and my children under the tree. Where should I go?
Speaking in Dinka, resident John James says he welcomes the government's decision to relocate residents to make way for a road, but officials should compensate residents.
We have to be shown where to relocate our families first, so that you can move your materials and children. Now they are destroying houses with timbers and iron sheets. This is not fair whatsoever. It is an attack on families. My opinion is that someone who orders site destruction should compensate.
But Botan Mayor Guy Makur says his office will not compensate residents for property destroyed or during the demolition exercise because they failed to heed his early order to relocate.
These are temporary structures. The government is going to compensate somebody who was allotted by the government. When you are allotted, that is your resident, you will be compensated. But if you walk on your own without other allotted, how can we compensate you? This is why we have even give them 2 weeks time to remove their belongings.
Makur says the roads are being constructed in order to allow development and e-service delivery.
In a town like Juba, like our neighboring countries, Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia, and Sudan, all cities are modernized through road. You can get your services through road.
Makur warns that the security operatives will arrest anyone who resists the demolition exercise or obstruct the construction of roads in Bor town. A human rights officer in the United Nations mission in South Sudan field office in Bor, Alfred Zulu, condemned the mass displacement of people caused by today's demolition. Zulu says the government should have designated alternate land before displacing the residents.
As we speak now, 200 households comprising of almost about 1,000 persons, including children, men and women, have been thrown out into the streets and they have nowhere to go. This is a violation of their rights. This is not fair. This is inhuman and it's unacceptable. We urge the state authorities to urgently find alternate spaces of land where these people could quickly be deployed so that they can start rebuilding their lives.
Mayor Makur says his office will allocate new residential plots to more than 199 households affected by the road construction within 2 months' time. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng reporting from Bor.
Tuesday was World Radio Day. The UN Cultural Agency, UNESCO, asked radio managers and broadcast journalists in South Sudan to focus on promoting cultural diversity and peaceful coexistence across the country. Participants at an event marking the day also called on broadcast journalists to focus their programming on development and education in South Sudan. Dimo Silva Aurelio has this report for VOA from Juba.
Dancers and singers in Juba perform a traditional Bari song which talks about chiefs upholding cultural values. Organizers at World Radio Day celebrations chose the theme Radio and Sport, which calls on radio stations and broadcasters to use sports to promote peace and celebrate cultural diversity in South Sudan. William Okot, a Juba-based journalist working for Bakita Radio, says there is too much government censorship on journalists' work which prevents them from doing balanced stories.
As a journalist, we have this thing called ethics. But using this ethics, yes, professionally, it is okay for you to use ethics. But in another way around, it's also affecting. That is the problem with us as journalists. It is difficult to use ethics of journalism in South Sudan. At least you give your story one side, you see. Balancing the story, a question will come. How did you manage to get the information from the other side? It means you're also connected there. Correct. Even though you say, I'm just a journalist, I'm a neutral person, nobody will believe that.
Charles Chaskin, the chief of party at Internews, says there should be more press freedom in South Sudan.
We have seen the country decline into political turmoil, into economic difficulties, and humanitarian crisis. And I think when we look back, we have to ask ourselves, particularly in the media department, how much we have done, really, to safeguard the principles that govern a functioning democratic society. And one of those principles is a free and independent media. I think that over the years, for reasons that in the past have been associated more with Khartoum and the country that you have fought so long and so hard to liberate yourselves from, are coming increasingly into this country, and I would warn against it.
Shardar Omar Alam, UNESCO's representative in South Sudan, says for journalists to do their job, there must be a safe and free media environment.
We are from UNESCO. Our concern is safety of journalists, and this is an area where we are working with different stakeholders, media partners, associations, and doing our best to support them in their cause of giving you the information. And the simple cause and simple principle is there, information, so that you can make right decision and right choices of your own. That is what we call impartial media. And this is fundamental human right.
Nadia Arop is South Sudan's Minister of Sport, Culture and Social Welfare. Arop says media houses and radio stations in South Sudan must promote sports and other programs that foster peace and coexistence.
I would like also to take this opportunity to call all the radio stations to challenge gender stereotypes and start airing inspiring local stories of sport as a force for peace and development.
Juba residents say radio is an important source of information and entertainment. Mary Agaba is a mother of seven who says radio can be used to promote harmony in South Sudan.
Radio really is very, very important, because nowadays brings people closer. Anything that you have not seen and you have not heard of, it will just bring it to you, and you will just imagine how good it is or how bad it is. Even somebody's pain, you can feel it wherever you are. Even good things, where if you are not, if you are not even close to that person, you may feel exactly what is happening. Radio should focus on peace, because we have problem now in South Sudan.
Marco Abol, who says he is a fan of Voice of America, says radio keeps him up to date on current affairs in the country.
Without radio, it is like a person in a dark place, because through radio we get all information in wherever the news are taking place. Like if anything happening, then we have to get live information. Like what is taking place in Addis Ababa now, we have a lot of reporters there, of media houses here in Juba, and then we are getting live information all the time.
Radio has the largest presence of all media in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
That report by Dimo Silva Aurelio from Juba brings us to the end of our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song No More War by Russ Corby.
Well, just checking up the global scene all over the world right now, seeing Rastafarianism. We need a global love, you know, and a global solution. And must be a conclusion. Joe! Rastafari, to stop the war. No more war in Africa. The people gotta leave up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East. The people are fighting the peace. No more war in America. The people gotta leave up to Jah. No more war in Asia. We gotta keep it nice and neat, y'all. Our people suffering around the world today. They're trying to find a solution. We look around and nowhere to hide. Not even a single place to run. How can you say you're leading the world without love? So how can you say you're leading the world without peace? Circumstances meet people along the way. They need someone to turn to. Only Jah has the solution. No mankind has it on his own. We were created in the image and the likeness of Jah. Mankind, don't try to fool yourself. Wake up in the morning, you see the sun now.
We've been listening to Russ Corby with the song No More War. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Would like to hear what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
In Asia,
We gotta keep it nice and neat. Can't you tell me how much love you have for this world and create time? Take a look, I'll let the children find the street.